Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, I am Katrina McGee, and I am an expert at taking life-changing career breaks and sabbaticals.
Absolutely fantastic. I think taking a sabbatical and taking career breaks is one of the most important things that you can do. And I think that the most important time that you can do that is when you have attained a certain level of stress. And I think that this is most accurately depicted in many of the assassin films, more documentaries, where the assassins at the beginning of the film have taken, they've hung up the assassin's guns or weapons. For instance, John Wick, you have them trying to settle down into a retirement situation and they find themselves pulled back in. And that's not unlike somebody that might be in academia, might be in the business world. And ultimately, John Wick is an allegory for a person wanting to take a sabbatical, but finding themselves consistently pulled back in to the business world or the academic world without the. Maybe in what's kind of to a degree hyperbole with all of the action and fighting and violence, but that could be spreadsheets. That could be managing people. Maybe in the real world, instead of doing this elaborate siege on a nightclub, you have to have a day where you have to fire 15 people. That can be really taxing, much like it's very taxing for Mr. Wick when he gets thrown from the second floor onto the dance floor, and then he has to get up and continue to do work. I think that one of the things that people need to recognize, whether or not they are in the assassin field or whether or not they are in the more traditional business field, is taking account of your stress levels and taking account of how your work and your time that you're spending and your work and the time you're spending outside of work and how that is really manifesting in your physical capabilities and your mental capabilities and your ability to appreciate and enjoy the things that are around you. And I think that one thing that a sabbatical can do, or taking, a break can do, is get you reconnected with some of the things that you most enjoy. But I think also people need to recognize that, like, you can't just be going around, oh, you have this idea that, oh, I'm going to take a sabbatical and I'm going to finish my book. Maybe that's not what your body needs for the first little bit of that sabbatical. Maybe you need to take some time, sit on a beach. Maybe it could be a situation where you need to learn how to swim because you didn't know how to swim before the sabbatical, and now you're on a beach because that's what you think that you need to do when you're on a sabbatical. You've got to go to the beach, you've got to go to the coasts. And then you're like, oh, well, I don't actually know how to swim, so I'm only getting like the sun and like I'm able to wade out into the water. And so, like, maybe the sabbatical really is your body telling you, like, hey, there's a lot of swimming we need to catch up on. And so then when you go back into the work world, you get a membership to a gym that has a pool, you go to the YMCA or you join the community pool, and then you find like you're doing laps every day, and then somebody comes up and they ask you, hey, why don't you join the board that oversees the pool to help us raise money? And then you have this whole new avenue in your life of fundraising to help the community pool, to help other people learn how to swim, adults learn how to swim that may not have known how to swim. And then, like, you're being fulfilled in various areas that you didn't even expect. And then once all of that is complete, then you're like, oh yeah, maybe I should take some more time off to finish that book. And then you write a best-selling, maybe memoir, maybe a fiction about teaching people how to swim, but maybe make that an allegory a la John Wick as well. And instead of teaching people how to swim, you're teaching people how to become assassins. I don't know exactly what each person is going to come at it with their own sabbatical and what metaphors and allegories they might use. But I think those are good starting points when you're thinking about taking a break from work. Now,
Wow.
yeah, now
Wow, Matt.
thank
That
you.
was, I have to give you props because that is the most interesting analogy, allegory. I'm not even sure what to call it, but that was the most interesting comparison I think I've ever heard. I actually wrote down spreadsheets equating to violence as an analogy. That was really special. And
it.
actually, crazily, I'm gonna tell you weren't too far off. I'm gonna
Oh,
give
wow.
you, can I rate you now?
Yeah, please feel free.
Okay, I'm gonna give you 75%.
Oh, wow. That's su surprisingly high for what I thought
Yeah.
I was at. Yeah, tell me about what you do and how you got into it.
Yeah, so I have been a career break and sabbatical coach for 7 years, and it happened because this was a, I've become the person that I needed. So I had my first actuarial, very spreadsheet heavy, by the way, career for 8 years, and didn't hate it, but didn't love it, and felt like there was more I could be doing. I went back to get my MBA, and after getting an MBA, I changed into a second career as a market researcher, and pretty quickly realized the corporate grind was not how I wanted to spend the quality years of my life. And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sure how to change that. I didn't really know there were options beyond just working a different corporate job or working a nonprofit corporate job, which, I mean, a nonprofit job, which is kind of like a corporate job, just with sometimes less pay. And so I really felt stuck. So I got a life coach, had an epiphany, realized I wanted to travel around the world, saved $40,000 in 18 months, quit my job, and took a 20-month career break, and it was life-changing. And so that really changed the trajectory of my life. But the reason I became a coach is that when I came back from that break, not knowing what was lying ahead for me and what was going to be in my future, I updated my resume and I applied to jobs. And from the day my resume was completely updated and online to the day I accepted a job was only 5 weeks. And in those 5 weeks, I landed five job offers. And I
Oh,
remember
wow.
thinking, yeah, I remember thinking there's really something powerful to this taking a break. And it goes beyond my personal life, but it also has positively impacted my professional life. I want to help more people do this. And so that planted a seed for me to do the work that I do. So I went back to corporate to pay off all my student loans, which took me a little less than 2 years. And then I got certified as a life coach. And I have been helping people do this ever since. And just 3 months ago, I released a book with Wiley, who publishes the For Dummies series. And we put out Taking a Career Break for Dummies. So I'm the author of Taking a Career Break for Dummies as well.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool. One thing that kind of passed through my mind while you were speaking was what are some indicators that somebody might be in need of a career break or a sabbatical?
Yeah. So this is part of what I loved in your analogy. Part of what you got right and part of what was wrong was this idea of waiting until the stress levels are indicating it's time to go. So you don't have to wait until the caution signs, like on your car, if you imagine a car with all the maintenance lights blinking at you. You can wait for the maintenance lights. There are signs, right? There are signs that you need one. Signs might look like being very reactive in your life, especially your professional life. So feeling like you don't have the space to think as deeply, your work is not as effective, and you just feel like all you're doing is putting out fires and you can't quite seem to calm your nervous system down or help, like your brain is just firing all the time and there's some type of tension and stress rolled up in that. Sometimes it's your physical health. So feeling like whether it's because of the work stress or the work stress is just exacerbating the issue, feeling like your health is constantly being jeopardized by your work, by the stress, by the lack of time to really address the root cause. And another one can be this pervasive sense of lack of fulfillment, right? So feeling like, gosh, there's so much misalignment in the life I have. And I've tried a bunch of things. I've tried several different companies or several different roles, and I'm just really feeling this lack of fulfillment. I would love to rediscover what brings me to life, what brings me joy, what lights me on fire at this stage of my life. Those are great reasons and great signs that it could be time for a break. But quite honestly, you can also take a life-changing break just because you want to take a break. And I think that's the revolutionary part. Sadly, it feels revolutionary now to give yourself permission to take a break, even if you need it. But I'm here to offer the idea that just because you want to is still completely valid as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that if I was kind of butting up against the stressors in my life, I think I would have some trouble like recognizing it and recognizing that pull to be like, hey, you need to take a break. I need to listen to my body. I need to listen to my mind. Yeah, that really resonated with me. What are some things that you would recommend people do when they're trying to start with that break? Are there things like, or is it, do you find that a lot of people end up thinking like, okay, they go from working 40 hours plus a week to, okay, well, I'm taking a break, so I have to spend all of my time on this creative endeavor, this thing I want to do, because I'm now freed from the work life?
Yeah, oh gosh, this is such a good question. So I find that oftentimes my clients, especially, are high achievers, right? So they have the burnout, they have the misalignment because they've gone really hard and really far at the job. They've created a lot of success and accolades, but at some point, it's just feeling like this isn't working. And so if you take a high achiever out of their job and immediately put them into a break without any preparation, and especially in regards to mindset, exactly what you've described will happen, right? They'll feel this need to justify their time off. They'll feel this need to recreate some different version of hustle. So oftentimes they'll either try to go really far and very productively into creative pursuits, like, oh, I have to write a novel, or oh, I have to launch a podcast, or they will become obsessed with kind of creating a source of income prematurely. So they're technically on a break, but they're worrying about what am I going to do for money? So they're trying to get a side hustle going right away or do some consulting. And it's basically the problem with it is that all of this is fear-based. All of this is not driven from a place of this is what my spirit needs, this is what my body needs, this is what I want for my life. It's driven more from a place of I don't want to be irresponsible. I don't want people to think I'm lazy. I don't want to lose my edge. I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to die penniless and broke on the street, right? It's very fear-driven and fear-based. So to the original question that you asked, which is a great question, the answer is getting really clear. And you said this actually in your first stab at what a career break is, getting clear on what you really need versus what you think you need or what you think a break should look like. Because the default, oftentimes, if you haven't worked with me or you haven't worked with a coach, is going to be to fill the time with things that feel outwardly productive, but rest is incredibly inwardly productive. Decompressing is very productive. Exploring things from a place of contentment and peace, having ideas and not needing to capitalize on them, to monetize them, to like turn them into complete hustles is productive. Just allowing and being is productive in an inward sense. And so getting really clear on what would a successful break look like for you. So I like to tell my clients, every client, whether they're on a break when they find me, whether they're starting, whether they're planning, whether they're saving, we always start with developing a purpose statement and 3 to 4 themes for their break. So those themes are pillars of what they're going to focus on and what they're going to invest in during that break. That is what you need. Fulfilling your purpose statement is predefining success and then putting time, energy, and money into fulfilling that version and that definition of success so that you have a successful experience, which means that you have a regret-proof break, which means that you have a break that creates this new version of you that you really want to connect with and to experience. And so that's like the absolute best place to start, whether you're on one, planning one, even thinking about one, honestly, or considering one. What would success look like? What do I need from this experience to feel like I am complete and it was worthwhile?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so fascinating. How would your clients know when they might want to consider returning to work? Or if they are returning to work, how are there things that you would take away or try to instill in them that they would bring back to the office or to the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. How you return sets the stage for how you experience life post-break. So that's really important. I highly, highly, highly recommend setting aside time and money to give yourself a reentry period. How long that period lasts is going to depend on A, are you creating a new pivot in your career? So it might take more time to build those connections up, to find the next job, if you're not going back into sort of exactly what you left or some very similar role. But also, it's going to depend on how long your break was. So you're going to want time to transition out of break mode and into job search and getting prepared for work mode. And so within that, it's important to understand that you're not coming out of it prematurely. So some of the people I've seen go through breaks prematurely come out of it because they freak out about money, they freak out about falling behind, losing their edge, things like that. So you want to just ask yourself once you have those themes and that purpose statement, do I feel good about returning to work? Do I feel ready? I honestly have people come to me who think they need a 3-month break and ultimately end up taking an 8-month break because they just needed to find the strength to give themselves permission to really be on a break and they weren't ready to go back at 3 months. But let's say you really are feeling ready, you really are feeling fulfilled in your experience, or your finances truly dictate that your break has to end, whether you like it or not, any of those reasons, but it's time to end. So you want to move into a reentry period, really getting grounded on what the benefits were of your break. Like, what did you gain from it on a big scale, on a small scale? How are you different? How did it improve your life? Because you're going to have to be your own hype person. You're going to have to transmit with your energy and your words the benefits of your break to future employers, to your network. And it's not hard if you really believe and embody, this break was freaking life-changing. It made my life so much better. I reclaimed my health. I got so much clearer on what I want for this next chapter of my life. I had so much fun. I deeply connected to people I love. I feel so refreshed and restored, completely rejuvenated, right? Telling that story is going to really land with people, whether, again, it's future employers, your network, honestly, just even friends and family that want to support you. So it's important to reflect on that as you're re-entering. And then to think about, who do I want to be in this next chapter of my life? It's a lot easier to set up ground rules for what you will and will not do, what you are willing and not willing to do in this next iteration of your career. Taking a reflection on your break and what you've learned from it, the lessons you've learned, and thinking about how you want to be different. So maybe it means that you don't want to work evenings anymore and you don't want to let your work come home with you. Being clear about that upfront makes it easier than accidentally feeling like you have to prove yourself at your job and being like, oh, I'll just give it 3 months of grinding it out until 9 p.m. and then I'll back off and get back to that break happiness and balance. No, it does not. It does not work like that, right? So it's really important to think about proactively, how do I want my life to go? Who do I want to be in this next iteration of my life, and to follow that? And pragmatically, one of the activities I give my clients I think is really helpful is thinking about 3 non-negotiables. These aren't 3 would like to have. These are 3 absolute requirements of something your next job has to have or absolutely cannot have for it to be good for you. And so when you think about and narrow it down to just 3 things, it helps create a very sharp filter through which you're only accepting opportunities that help you align with the version of yourself that you want to be and the experience of work life that you want to have once the break has ended.
That's absolutely perfect. And what I love about that is you touched on the question that I had, which was, how do you talk to employers once you've taken this break and everything? How do you explain that time off, that time away? And I think that what you've described of like really like embodying the benefits that you've gone after really, I mean, it was enticing to me in terms of like, if I heard somebody and I was like in a hiring position, I would be like, oh, this person seems joyful and enthusiastic. They're going to be a benefit to the workplace. So yeah, I can overlook this gap. They need to take time for themselves. That's great. They're going to be completely fantastic resource for the office. So I think that's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. And imagine, Matt, like having like a room full of hamsters running on a wheel, and one little hamster is like, dude, I need to go take care of my hamster ankle because this is not happening for me. Like, I'm half broken. I need a break. I'm going to go play on the grass for a while. I'll see you guys in 6 months. And then like, imagine that you're trying to fill a role, basically you have an empty wheel that needs a hamster to run. And you see this hamster come back in 6 months later, all fit and excited, completely restored. Meanwhile, you have like all the other hamsters who haven't stopped running. They're exhausted. They have broken ankles and they're trying to like hop along. And you have this one hamster that's like, give me the wheel. I'm ready. Let's go. I mean, having a restored, excited, and really recharged version of this person coming back is just the greatest gift to everyone, right?
100%. 100%. This has been so insightful. I feel like going to be so helpful to so many people. If people wanted to learn more about you or more about this topic, where would you recommend they go?
Yeah, a great place to go is to actually download my free list of 45 of the coolest things my past clients have done while on a career break or sabbatical. This list is really fun. It's really insightful. There's a lot of variation, but I combed through years of emails with client updates and success stories to basically show you all the different kinds of things you can do on a break. And some of them are amazing and big, real big challenges, and some of them are quite simple and beautiful in their simplicity. So if you go to kmcgeecoaching.com/45things, you can find that list. And that will also put you on my mailing list where you can stay connected to me and get updates on the book and lots of goodies and resources about how to take a break, how to consider a break, how to plan for a break and save for a break.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been so wonderful. I can't thank you enough.
Thanks for having me, Matt. It was really fun.
Wonderful. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining. Oh, hi, everybody. I just wanted to mention that No Bones About It, my new solo show about my lifelong love of dinosaurs, will be at the New York City Fringe on April 7th, 8th, the 17th, and the 20th. Go to Frigid New York for more information, or check the links in my bio to find tickets or to find online tickets as well. Before we go today, I want to thank Ryan Lawson, my dear friend and all around okay guy, for making the theme music for Matt's Splaining. And if anyone needs music production or mixing services for any of their projects, Ryan can be reached at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com or at Beat Blender Studios on Instagram and TikTok.